Isaiah, the 36th chapter. Isaiah 36. Isaiah 36, verse 1. Isaiah 36, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defensed cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem under King Hezekiah with a great army. And then let's move over to verse chapter 37, verse 20, where we hear the prayer now of Hezekiah with this great army facing him. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, this king of Assyria, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Then the answer from the Lord in verse 35, God said, for I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Father, thank you for the good sense of your presence this morning. And Father, help us around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church just to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that's our only reason for existence as a church and as a people, is to exalt Christ and tell others about him and seek to win the lost to Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's good to praise you. Lord, help us to live a life of praise, I pray. Bless today. Meet every need. Lord, there's many needs here today. Lord, you're able to meet our needs. God, if you're God, and you are, you're able to do abundantly above that which you could ask or think. So meet every need today. Save that man, woman, boy, or girl here without Jesus. Reclaim that one that's out of the will of God, I pray. And get glory. Lord, help us to be sure that you get glory through everything that's done and everything that's said, and everything that's accomplished. Lord, we'll see if you'll help us that you get the glory for it all. Now, bless throughout these grounds today and our children's churches and preschool. And Lord, now do eternal business right here in this building today. Lord, maybe you've brought somebody out. You've been dealing, working in their lives. And now is a time when they need to get right with thee. May they come today and trust Jesus and leave here right with God and on their way to heaven. Lord, do something eternal, we pray. Now help me, anoint me. Lord, I need your presence. Would you help me? And defeat the devil and hindering spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now Isaiah 36 and 37 tells a story of the Assyrian invasion of Judah and God's great deliverance from these Assyrian hordes. The little nation Judah and the godly king Hezekiah were no match for this mighty Assyrian army. And the outlook was bleak and the outlook was dark. But when the outlook is bleak and the outlook is dark, that's God's opportunity a lot of times. Maybe God's got you where he wants you in your life, so you look to him. Your circumstances may be God's opportunity in your life. And in chapter 36 here, General Rabshakeh was sent by King Sennacherib of Assyria with a great army to attack Jerusalem. And then when he arrived in the outskirts of Jerusalem, Hezekiah sent out three representatives to talk with this general. And this General Rabshakeh said, why, he said, you might as well surrender. He said, there is no way that you can stand against us. Look at verse 18 in chapter 36. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, and don't listen to him when he says this, the Lord will deliver us. He said, don't listen to him. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Syria? Now when Hezekiah heard this, what did he do? Look at chapter 37, verse 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes, his outer garments, and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. So as soon as he heard it, he rent his outer garment like I'd take off my coat and covered himself with sackcloth, which meant he was in a state of mourning, and he went to God's house to pray. But he didn't pray only by himself. He sent two men in the first part of chapter 37 to the prophet Isaiah, and he wanted the man of God to pray for him. Look at verse 4. These two men went to Isaiah and said, it may, in verse 4, this message from the king said, it may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, Isaiah, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. Now, King Hezekiah knew there was a prophet, the prophet Isaiah, who was in touch with heaven and could get a prayer through to God. You know, the greatest ability in the world is to be right with God, folks, and to be able to get a prayer through to God. That is the greatest ability in the world, is to be able to knock on the doors of the throne room of God and get a prayer through to God. You're going to need to know how to pray. And you better learn to pray, because there's going to be coming a time before very long when you're going to need God's help, and you're going to need to know how to pray. And if there are two reasons if you cannot get a prayer through to God this morning. One is, first, you're not saved. God heareth not sinners. So God doesn't have to hear your prayer if you're not saved. He'll hear your prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. He'll hear that. But then second, if you are saved and you can't get a prayer through to God this morning, it's because there's sin in your life. Isaiah, the prophet, said in 59 verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not short and that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Then in chapter 37 of Isaiah, verses 5 through 7, the prophet Isaiah prayed and got an answer from the Lord. Look at verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say unto your master, thus saith the Lord. He had a message from the Lord. Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Syria have blasphemed me. Isaiah the prophet said, go tell the king, don't be afraid of their blasphemies. Then look at verse 7. A further word, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. God said, tell the king that he's going to hear a rumor, and he'll return to his own land, and he'll die by the sword. And folks, it happened just like God said it was going to happen. It always happens just like God's word says it's going to happen. You know, the devil and his crowd can't do anything with God's people if they'll pray. If you're saved this morning and if you'll pray, brother, the devil and his crowd can't do anything with you. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ my Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will turn the night to day. So when life is dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Then in verses 8 through 13, old Rabshakeh, the Assyrian general, sent an insulting letter to King Hezekiah. He had heard that rumor that God said he's going to hear about some hostilities back in the homeland. And before he started to go back to the homeland, this general, he sent a letter, insulting, blasphemous letter to King Hezekiah. And when Hezekiah got this bad news, the letter said, why, that none of the gods of the other lands was able to deliver them. And this insulting letter said, your God is not going to deliver you either. Look at verse 10. Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Syria. What did King Hezekiah do when he got that letter? Look at verse 14. And he went to God in prayer again. Didn't go to his favorite psychologist, quack. Listen, folks, and most of them are quacks. Most of these psychologists are. God's word has the answer to 98% of your problems. If you just read this word and go with that word, you won't need your favorite shrink. Now, I know there's sometimes when there are problems, biological problems. But most of the time, it's because we don't go with what God says in his word. But what did Hezekiah do? In verse 14, when he received the letter from the hands of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up again. Here he's going again to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. So he went up to God's house, got before the Lord, and he said, Lord, look here. He said, Lord, look at this letter. He said, Lord, they're saying our God is not able to help us. And then what a wonderful prayer Hezekiah prayed in verses 15 to 20. Look at that great, I just read it. I don't have time to even comment on it this morning. What a wonderful prayer. One of the great prayers of the Word of God. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. Hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. This great prayer that fell from the lips and from the soul of Hezekiah before the Lord there, it must have reached heaven, because the Lord sent his prophet Isaiah with a message in verses 21 to 25. These two chapters would be good if you just go home and study today. I'm just sort of hitting the high spots here on them today. And you know what God said? He said, you're going to laugh at him. You're going to laugh at the king of Syria. You're going to laugh at him. He said, because they have reproached the Holy One of Israel. Look at verse 23. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? Against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. And he said also in verse 29, because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears, therefore will I put mine hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will, God said, I'm going to take you, I'm going to put the hook in your nose, I'm going to turn you around, I'll turn thee back, and by the way by which thou camest, God said, I'm going to turn you around and send you back home the same way you came. That's the way you're going to go back. God said, I'm going to do that. And then, I'll tell you, it's wonderful to see God fulfill his word. Look at verse 35. Look also what God, or verse 33 rather. Look, see what God said in that verse. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Israel, the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city. God said they're not going to step one foot in this city. I mean, they're not going to plant one foot, none of them, in my city, the city of God, Jerusalem. And he said not only that, he said there's not going to be one arrow shot in this city. Not one arrow. Look at it. Nor shoot an arrow there. Nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. That's shouting grounds, isn't it? God's taking care of his people. God said in verse 35, for I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake. and for my servant David's sake. And then in verse 36, God sent one little old angel. God didn't need a legion of angels. God just sent one angel to take care of his dirty work. And that night, in verse 36, one angel destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. Look at it. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. One little unbelieving pastor up in Illinois one time told me, he said, "Now you don't believe there was exactly 185,000 that were slain." I said, "Yes, because that's exactly what the Bible says. I believe it's 185,000 because that's what God's word says. And if God didn't say what he meant, what did he mean what he said?" And then look down at verse 38. The Assyrian king went back to home to Nineveh. And in verse 38, and it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Remelech and Sharezer his son smote him with the sword, and they escaped in the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Just like God said, he was going to go home, and a sword was going to kill him. And it happened just like God said it would back in verse 7. Now, why did I summarize these two long chapters for you this morning? Well, first of all, God spoke to my heart through these two chapters this week. When I needed a word from heaven, God spoke to my heart through these two chapters. Because, as you know from what I said last Sunday morning, I personally faced a great crisis last week, personally, just as difficult as King Hezekiah and Judah faced nationally right here in these two chapters. And I'm glad that I can stand here this morning and say the same God who heard the cry of his people 2,700 years ago is still abundantly able to do above that which we could ask or think. He heard the prayers of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and this preacher last week. He heard the prayer of friends I have all over this country. Brother, a great course of prayer went up for this unworthy preacher this past week over up in Indiana and Illinois. I'm finding out people prayed for me that I didn't even know was praying for me last week. Brother, when God gets ready to do something, he gets people to praying. He gets people to praying in South Carolina, North Carolina. Now, this preacher's praying in Alabama that I didn't know anything about. Some preacher friend told some preacher friends of mine, I just barely know them a little bit in Alabama. They're praying down there. And then up in Virginia and here in Tennessee. And God's people prayed last week. And, brother, the same God. Is still able to hear and answer prayer. I told you last Sunday that my doctor's report said I had a diseased heart and had a heart blockage, that I had to curtail my ministry. But I'm here to report this morning, God's done a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. God has done a wonderful thing. The cardiologist said after the heart catheterization last Wednesday that I had no blockage, and my heart was as healthy as a horse. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good reporting. Now, let me just for the glory of God, I want to just give you a little account of what God did for me this week. Now, folks, I'm not trying to glorify Gene Lashley. I've got on my face, and I said, "Lord, do it that the people will know that God hears and answers prayer." I don't glory in me. I'm the same as you are. I sort of went along for the ride last week, that's all. And I want the Lord to get the glory out of this morning. And I wanted you to know. I wanted God to do something for me so the people could know, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, that there's still a God in heaven that can help you in time of need. Now last Monday, I went up to the Holston Valley Hospital to visit some people who were on our prayer list back here. And I went by my doctor's office on the 9th floor, Dr. Ginn. And I just went by to get my appointment moved up because I was supposed to see him again next week, and I went by to get it to sometime this past week with the possibility sometime in the future having a heart catheterization. I'd prayed about it and thought the Lord wanted me to go ahead with it. So I went by, and the nurse said, well, come right on in and talk. He was sitting in his office, and they took me right, people waiting out there, and they took me right on into the doctor's office. And that's never happened to me before in my life. And so he just picked, I told him the other day, I said, Doc, I'm not going to have that catheterization. I pray. He wanted me to go ahead and line me up then. I said, I'm going to pray about it. He said, well, you go home and think about it and pray about it. So I told him, I said, I prayed about it, and I feel that I ought to go ahead and get that heart catheterization. And so he just picked up the phone and called Dr. Ladley, the cardiologist up there. And immediately before I knew it, it was Monday afternoon about 3, and he said, be in Holston Valley at 6 o'clock Wednesday morning. I mean, I didn't hardly have time to breathe, and I was on my way to a heart catheterization. So Tuesday, I started calling everybody I could think about, pray for me. Some people don't even want you to know they got a problem. Brother, when I have a problem, I want people praying for me. I want people praying for me. Called old Brother Sandy up here and said, Sandy, get our Saturday morning men's prayer meeting crowd. Brother, we've been getting hold of God on Saturday morning, and I want that crowd to pray for me. So we called a prayer meeting here Tuesday night with our Saturday morning prayer meeting crowd and had 42 men on their faces and on their knees all around this front here Saturday morning. And I didn't even think about it with God here, but let's see, Chris asked me to come to the hospital anointing her with oil a few months ago. And I've never had any anointing of oil around. I'd never done it before in my life. But we had that oil, bottle of oil sitting back in the office back there. I didn't remember where it was. Gary did. And while we were praying, I said, Gary, do you know where that oil is? And he said, yes. And I said, go try to get it. And he brought that oil in here. God laid it on my heart to have our men to anoint me with oil and pray according to James. Now, I'm not going into the healing business. My name's not Oral Roberts or Jimmy Swaggart, thank the Lord, or anything like that. But I do believe in the Word of God and do believe in the power of God. You can be a Baptist and still believe God hears and answers prayer. What's wrong with a Baptist believing God hears and answers prayer? If you believe the Bible, the Word of God said in James 5:14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. That's what I did. I called for you all to come in and pray for me. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And that's what the Lord did for him. And we prayed here. And Brother Roy back here, I prayed a lot for Roy in his time of difficulty. And he come first, Tuesday night, and said, I want to pray for my pastor first. And he put that oil on and prayed for him. And then Brother Steve and Brother Jack and then Brother Gary prayed for me. And as they put that oil on me, that oil represents the Holy Spirit, see. No saving or healing virtue in oil. It just represents the Holy Spirit. And as I was kneeling there, Brother Jack came and said, he didn't take it lightly or something like that. That represented the blessed Holy Spirit. And I said, blessed Holy Spirit, don't only heal me, not only, but fill me with the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. God gave us a great prayer meeting. And Brother Steve and others prayed that when I went in for that catheterization Wednesday, that there would be no sign of any heart blockage. That's what our men prayed for Wednesday night. And they prayed for it. And I believe that God heard and answered the prayers of our men. And we had 5 teenage boys here with us praying Tuesday night. Then Wednesday morning, I'll never forget last Wednesday. As long as I live, I don't believe I'll forget last Wednesday. I got up here, got up at 3:30 because I had to leave at 5:30 to go to the hospital. So I got up here and prayed and sung a little bit. Went in and tried to, I went over some of my favorite scripture verses and seemed like none of God would speak to me. And I needed a word from God. And I turned to this chapter. Turned to verse 20. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. And I said, God, would you do something? Would you do something? Would you heal? Would you help me, Lord, so that my church and these boys that were here Wednesday night, so we'll all know that there is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. Then I read down to verse 35, for I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake. I said, Lord, don't heal me for my sake, because, Lord, I don't come to you for my sake. I just said, Lord, would you heal me for your sake? And you get the glory out of it. And I prayed here till about 5 or 10 minutes after 5, and I had to go. And so I said, Lord, as I walked out this auditorium Friday morning, about 5:10, I said, Lord, I'm in your hands. And God gave me peace as I left this auditorium. And at 9:30 Wednesday morning, I was lying on my back in the bed in room 23N, I believe it was, at Holston Valley Hospital. My wife was there, standing there. And Brother Gary was standing there. Roy and Jean were standing there. My brother Don, who's a preacher up in Damascus, Virginia, was standing there. Little Filipino nurse was trying to give me a bedside EKG and those little suction things. And bless her heart, none of them would work. She put it on, it'd fall. I said, nurse, says things not stick. And in walks, I think, about 7 doctors. You know, the Lord wanted a lot of witnesses what he's going to do. The Lord sent us about 13 or 14 witnesses to what he's about to do. 5 or 6 or 7 doctors, I don't remember. Ellen says there's 5 doctors who were there on, what are they called, when they're resident doctors, is that what they call in the hospital? When they're there for what? No, next step up. Resident. Well, there's a gang of them came in, along with my doctor, Dr. Ginn, the cardiologist, Dr. Ladney. And brother, we had a room full. We had a room full there. And they pulled out all those EKGs I had on that treadmill. And my doctor was showing it to the cardiologist. And they all agreed that I had a heart problem and I had a bad blockage. And for about 13, there were some sitting here this morning who heard all these doctors say that. And I was sitting there and they were laying there and they were lying there and they were saying that. And then Dr. Ladley, the cardiologist, stepped over to me and he said, now we just want you to know that we consider the heart catheterization a safe procedure, but there are some risks. He said, you know, they go in your leg groin area on a main artery, you could bleed to death. He said that you could have a heart attack, and the man told me this morning about one of his friends had a heart attack and died while they were having the same procedure. It's very safe, but there things do happen. And he said, too, your heart could be allergic to the dye when it hits your heart. I said, I understand, doctor. And it didn't bother me a bit. Didn't faze me a bit. I was in the hands of the Lord. The Lord had already given me peace. I was willing to accept anything God had for me, regardless what it would be. So they rolled me out of my room at 10:20 last Wednesday morning. And at 10:30, they had me on that operating table there in the cath laboratory. But you know, I wasn't afraid because the Lord gave me peace. I'm glad there's peace in the time of storm for God's children. Folks, if you look to Jesus, if you're saved and cast yourself on Jesus, there's peace in the midst of a storm. Hallelujah. You don't have to go to pieces. You can have peace, the peace of God. And, you know, that's the payoff of the old time. This brother, this churchianity, and this new religion won't do the job. It won't tree the apostle. Brother, the old-time religion works when you face death. When you look death face to face, the old-time religion, salvation by the grace of God, it works. As the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why can we fear no evil when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death? For thou art with me. If Jesus is our brother, he'll help you in that time. I found it out, praise his name, this week. And I was able to joke. Weren't you scared? No. And that wasn't me. Don't get me wrong. The Lord helped me. I was joking with him while they had me on that operating table. I said, listen, I'm a Baptist preacher. I said, I've got to do 2 things first. I said, first of all, I've got to pray and I've got to take an offering. And one nurse said, I didn't bring my pocketbook in here with me. So, why? you can go ahead and laugh in the spite of the devil. Do you know that? If you're in God's hands. And then they hooked me all up and come in and started that thing. And they had television sets all over the place. And I look up on the television set and saw my heart up there. Listen, I want to squelch a vicious rumor. I want to squelch a vicious rumor. And it's terrible that you'd say that about your preacher, son. And I'm incensed about it. Some of you said because they found nothing, they must have tested my head, not my heart. And that's wrong. But you know that. Stop that right now. Now, that's not, I'm telling you, we ought to bring you up for, and church you if you continue that rumor. But I want you to know I saw my heart on television. It wasn't my head, now it's my heart. And I want you to know the preacher does have a heart. I can prove it. I saw it on television. I saw it on television. And then as I was watching my heart there on television, I saw that, I guess they called it the catheter, come down into my heart and make a sort of little turn there. And then shortly after that, they shot that dye into my heart. That was it. They put me on the table at 10:30. At 11 o'clock, Dr. Latley, he stopped the procedure and he said, "We didn't find a sign of blockage." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, "It's only preliminary," but he said, maybe there's some small veins and arteries where I couldn't tell, but he said, "I didn't see any time. I don't expect any blockage." And he reviewed the film later on that afternoon, came by Wednesday afternoon, and said, "No sign of heart blockage, and I had a healthy heart." Boy, I'll tell you. Folks, the Lord has been good to me. And then Dr. Ginn, my family doctor, came by and said, "You're as healthy as a horse. Do what you want to do." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And folks, now I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I don't know where the machines made a mistake. I'm going to believe till I get to heaven that God, well, it was God either way. Anything happened, it was God. I'm believing that God touched me and that God healed me. And I'm just going to believe that God performed a great miracle. God heard and answered prayer. Last Sunday, I stood before you, a semi-retired preacher. I had to curtail my activities. But folks, the Lord has given me a new lease on my ministry. You have a new preacher again today. And folks, when they said there's no blockage, that means I can preach again. Hallelujah. Means I can preach again. Brother Mercer, it means I don't have to quit preaching. Praise His name. Brother, isn't that something to shout about? I wasn't ready to be put out to pasture. There's still a lot of kick in this old body, brother. I feel like I can kick the devil a little while longer. So God has restored me to the ministry, Brother Sandy. Praise His name. And now let me just make a few observations. Now I wanted the Lord to get the glory out of this morning. Because, folks, I don't want to stand here after God's done a great thing and take any glory. Because He alone is worthy of all the glory. I want God to get the glory. The Lord did it, and He has all power. And listen, when God does something for us, He won't share any of the glory with man. So I want to give God all the glory. I just want Him to use me for His glory. Listen, after going through that, I don't want any glory. I just want the Lord to be glorified. The rest of my days on this earth, I want to glorify the name of the Lord. That's what I want to do. Then I want to thank this church for praying for me. I want to thank my wife. She stood by me and searched God's word, getting a word from God, and prayed for me and stuck with me, and friends everywhere praying for me. And I appreciate it. From the bottom of my heart, I love you and thank God for you. You know, the best friends in the world are praying friends. Somebody pray for you is the best friend in this world you've got. You say, "Preacher, don't you want to get the moneyed people in your church?" No, I want to get people to know how to pray. And if we get people to know how to pray, we'll get the money. We'll get the money. We're doing pretty good financially.
We were doing pretty good financially around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And hadn't compromised to get a cent of it either. Hallelujah. And I asked God to heal me so that my men who prayed last Tuesday night, there's five boys. Some of them's already preaching. Some of them already surrendered to preach. And I'm glad my son Tori could come here this morning so he could know that his dad's God hears and answers prayer. Hallelujah. You mean, preacher, aren't you ashamed of those tears? Why, no. You ought to be ashamed if you can't weep. When God's done something great for us, it ought to touch the wellsprings of our soul. And you know what? It's good to know the Lord in a time like that. Well, let me say this. One of the names of the Lord is, one of the names of our God in Psalm 65:2 is, O Thou that hearest prayer. One of God's names, His very name, is, O Thou that hearest prayer. Then, you know, it's good to know the Lord in a time like that. It's good to be saved. This church membership won't cut it when you face death. It takes real salvation. I'm talking about real faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was lying there on that board. They were getting ready to put that dye in my heart. And the doctor had already told me that that my heart could be allergic to that dye. And sometimes it hits people's heart, and I guess if it hits their heart and you're allergic, it'll have a heart attack and possibly kill you right there. And as I was lying there, I thought, well, I've been so good, and I've been a preacher, and I've been a church member. Therefore, as soon as that dye hits my heart, if I die, I'll go to be the Lord. No. No, I wouldn't go be to the Lord just because I'm a church member, just because I'm a preacher, just because I've tried to live right. No, I'd go to be with Jesus because I've been saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And I thought as I was lying there, if that die hits my heart, and I wasn't scared. And I was scared last week and scared when I first got the report, but the Lord took the fear away. And I thought if that die hits my heart and I'm allergic to it, I thought, I'll never get off this table. I'll just go straight from this table into the presence of the Lord. And that was wonderful peace to my heart, folks. You see, that's what real salvation is. It's not my good works. I just want to try to live right and do something to the Lord. I just want to please Him. But real salvation is trusting Jesus and Him alone for the salvation. You're committing your soul to Him and His safekeeping. Faith, but for by grace are you saved through faith. And God gave me an opportunity to witness to a doctor who was a Roman Catholic. I didn't realize at first he's such a fine guy, one of the nicest guys I've ever met, one of the resident doctors. And I had asked him if he's a Christian. He said yes one time when he's in there. And that doctor came back and saw me three times Wednesday. He didn't have to come back. He didn't have to come but one time. Three times, he saw something unusual taking place. And somehow, I believe the Lord brought him back. And I talked to a couple of those nurses. I said, nurse, do you ever see a situation like this? She said, rarely ever. When doctor says he's got a heart blockage, they go in there and there's nothing. That doctor hadn't seen much like that either. And he knew something unusual was taking place. And I was standing there waiting on my wife to go get the car and waiting on the man to come and transport me out on the wheelchair. I felt unnecessary going out in a wheelchair, but that was your policy. I said, I understand your policy. I said, I'd rather be pushing you, though. And so while I was standing there waiting, I didn't know he was Roman Catholic. He came in. And I thought he belonged some, you know, maybe Baptist church or some Bible preaching church around. And I said, doctor, I said, where do you go to church? And he said, I go to St. Dominic's. And I said, well, I didn't laugh at him because, I mean, he was a wonderful person. And I said, doctor, you see people die all the time. And I said, doctor, church membership won't help us. when we breathe that last breath. I said only it takes a vital faith in Jesus Christ. And I said, Doctor, if I'd have died, he knew what I was going through with. He knew, it was right there when they told me all about that heart catheterization. And I said, Doctor, if I'd have died today, down there in that when they did that cath, I said, I'd have gone to be with the Lord. And he said, well, I've just come from a man who just died. He walked from a man who just died over to see me. And he's standing there. He just come there and stood there, looked at me. I didn't say a word. I had to start talking to him. So I started witnessing to him. And I said, Doctor, if you were to die right now, would you go to be with the Lord? And he said, no. He said, I don't think so. And so while I was waiting to come home, the Lord let me give a doctor the plan of salvation and told him it wouldn't be joining a Baptist church or the Catholic church, but it was a vital faith in Jesus Christ and him alone that would save us and get us ready to meet the Lord. And then they came after me with the wheelchair, and I had some tracts, and I gave the doctor a tract, and I said, Doctor, read this. This will show you what real faith is. And now, folks, I'm just rejoicing this morning. You don't mind me just praising the Lord for doing so much for me. But now, why did God do what he did in my life this week? I don't know. I can't understand it. I don't understand it. Never will know till I get to heaven, probably. Isaiah 55:9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can't understand God's working. All I can say is, as the blind man said, who was healed in John 9, whereas once I was blind, now I see. I was a semi-retired preacher last Sunday, but I'm back in the ministry preaching today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord helped me, primarily because I'm one of his children. Got saved when I was a 13-year-old boy. I've tried to live for him, preach this old book. You know, it pays to serve. Don't let anybody tell you it doesn't pay to serve Jesus. It pays to serve Jesus. And listen, it will pay you to live in the world too. The devil has his payday for you too. Your payday's coming if you're living in the world, if you're not saved. It's coming. But it pays to serve Jesus. And I believe the Lord helped me because he's a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. God heard and answered our prayer. Then one other reason I believe the Lord helped me, he called me to preach 40 years ago. And you know what? The Lord's not through with me yet. He's not through with me yet. He has a little bit more for this preacher to do before he calls me home. So I thank him. I thank the Lord this morning for giving me an extension in my ministry. He's going to permit me a little while longer to tell people that Jesus is a wonderful Savior. My message the rest of my day is going to be that Jesus is a wonderful Savior. I want us just to sing, Brother Gary, 249, so precious is Jesus, my Savior and King. 249. Let's sing it from our soul unto the Lord.
So precious is Jesus, my Savior and King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To him in my weakness for strength I
all we can
cling.
Do from your soul.
For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. His heaven below.
Let's sing the third. This is my verse. You all just keep quiet. Let me sing the verse. Come in with me on the chorus. The only way I ever get to sing around here is, brother, I'm the pastor. I'll just let myself sing. Amen. Oh, this is my verse. I stand on, you can help me out. I stand on the mountain of blessing at last. No cloud in the heavens, a shadow to cast. Watch this now. His smile is upon me, the valley is past. For sing with me, he is so precious to me.
I praise him because